This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
Okay, why don't you take me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I'm continuing on bringing the very word of God for 2016. Today I want to actually talk about that. God's desire for a resting place and he demands for a refuge place for such a time as this. A refuge place not for us, but the refuge place for people. Refuge place for such a time as this. I'll define for you what this is about as we go further. But the refuge place is not like a place to hide, but that when there's no answer, there will be an answer at a place where we encounter God, at a place of prayer, at a place where the people of God gather. This is always that requirement or the desire of God, especially in such a time as this. He desires a resting place. He demands a refuge place, a resting place that is for himself, a refuge place that is for people. Okay, so I'm going to bring that word, what God is saying to us. The word tonight is specifically for ourselves in the house, but the principle, the message is relevant to everybody, is applicable to everybody. So take seriously what God is saying. Okay. What he's trying to tell us, you know, is something that God has put in my heart for the last 6 months. You know, that I take some time to just meditate. It's a strong word. It's a sober word, but it's not a word of rebuke. It's a word where he's beckoning us to come with tenderness and earnestness. He's like re-inviting us again, you know, so that we will re-sign up again. You know, most of us sign up, you know, some maybe 5 years ago, some 8 years ago, some 10 years ago, or some may say, did I sign up, you know. No, this is, God is re-inviting us, you know, to re-sign up. You know, we constantly have to re-sign up and re-sign up and re-sign up and renew that, renew, I'm not saying change the visions, but that. The very first time when God gives us that visions, we need to always remember and recall. Because if one, someone who don't remember and recall the very visions that God has for him or her will eventually suffer loss. That's what Revelation 3 is all about. Because you don't take it seriously to engage the very heart of God. Even when the Lord has left, you don't even realize. That's why we have to take it very seriously, because a lot of times we are very casual, you know. Yeah, you know, one of the things that people like to say is, yeah, God understands. Of course, God always understands. But the issue is, do we understand? No, that is a much more serious thing. So this is not a word of rebuke, but it's a sober and a strong word. You know, when God says, when God's word is strong, it's not because he's upset or angry with us, because he loves enough that he will not leave us there, because he has something better and he doesn't want us to be shortchanged. That's why he has to say the word. Okay, so it's a very tender, earnest word that beckon us to re-sign up, you know, to renew that vision again, to realign our heart, to strengthen that resolve. Because yes, what we do is challenging. I'll tell you why it's challenging along the way. It's difficult. And along the way, we do lose our resolve. We need to re-strengthen that resolve again. And more importantly, rediscover the joy, the excitement, you know, when we first begin, because we are entering into serious season. We are entering into serious time. I talked about it yesterday. We cannot be casual. We cannot be casual. House of prayer cannot be casual. We cannot lose focus. The house of prayer cannot lose focus. And more importantly, we cannot become weak. In this moment, we have to burn the brightest. Okay. No, of course, it's not by our own strength. Everything by God's grace. By God's grace cannot, inverted comma, reach us unless we first respond and first cooperate with God. You see, a lot of time, the great mistake in the Church of Jesus Christ is we are waiting for God to do everything. There are some things he will not do for us. Grace is available. Victory is attainable. Overcoming is attainable, but we have to respond first. And when we respond, God will respond speedily. So this is a word that specifically that God wants to say to us as a house, okay? In the context of He desire a resting place. And He demands a refuge place for such a time as this. Turning me to Revelation 3. Revelation 3. You know, I say just now that many of us have been doing this for, let me start from the long one first to short one now. Okay, maybe some of us have been doing it for 13 years, some of us 10, maybe some 8, some 5. Faith probably about 3 or 4. No, I'm not saying less means you're kind of like below and so on, but that. The key, what I'm trying to say is that whether you do 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, or have been around for 13 years, that is something precious. Because we need to learn to see from the eyes of God. That is something precious. That is called faithfulness. Faithfulness is not doing great things or big things because, truth be told, very few people in life will do great things. Like Steve Jobs, you know, create Apple. You know, yeah, I can plant an apple tree and grow apple, but I'm talking about that. Create something that revolutionized the world. Few of us will do that, you know. But we can be faithful. You know? What we are doing is actually faithful to do this mundane, routine, difficult. Most of the time, yeah, within these four walls of this this room, it's challenging. That's why it's faithful. The key is this. No, I want to say what God seeing us in the good sense. Not that after that it's all bad. No, the key is we have to remember this. God remembers. We are not shortchanged. He remembers. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10. Just write this down. Hebrews 6 verse 10. The scripture say this. God will not forget. Even we offer a cup of ice water. But no one noticed. The verse in a nutshell means, if He forget, one day when He see you face to face, you can charge Him as unjust. That's what the verse means. What I'm saying is that every time we come, the tears, the sacrifice, the time, the finances, and whatever that we are invested in this for the last 13 years, God remembers. He remembers our sacrifice. He remembers our devotion. And more than that, He sees. Because sometimes what we do is a lot of times a lot of hiddenness. No one give praise. Very few affirmation from outside. Here and there, there's one. It's like revival breaks out. You know, it's true. You know, I'm not doing this for affirmations. If I'm doing this for affirmation, I have quit a long time ago. But affirmation is important. But the key thing that sustains this is that we need to know that God sees. He sees and He honors us. That's Matthew 6, you know. Matthew 6, there are 3 or 4 times that whether it's, you know, when we give to the poor, when we pray, when we fast, so on and so on, God sees in secret. When we don't even realize it, you know, especially Matthew 6, verse 6 is in the context of when you pray in secret, you know. In the sense, we pray in secret, you know, but we pray over the mic. No, in the sense, we don't tell the world is not aware by and large of what we do and so on. So in the sense, we pray in secret. God sees. He honors us. That is the key thing. Whether you are single, whether you are married, whether you are parents, whether you are youth, whether you are young adult and so on, He sees and He remembers. And I want to honor especially those who turn full-time, you know, the kind of financial sacrifice that you make. God remembers, you know. God remembers, okay. That's what it is. But He has, I want to switch the mode. Turn to me to Revelation 3. He has a strong word for us. Okay? Again, it's not a word of rebuke. Okay, it's because He loves us. You know, it's an earnest and the tender word where He's beckoning us to go further, to go further. Because truth be told, you know, after all these years, we do have lost something. No, I'm not saying that we lost money or whatever, you know. We do. I mean, if you recognize, and it's the grace of God that God is pointing a finger there, not saying that, you see? No. He wants to highlight to us so that we can go further, so that we don't suffer loss, so that we can reach the fullness. No, I'm not going to do this, you know. It's like, go up there, yeah, finally I make it, thank you, Jesus. But I want to reach the fullness. And it's always the grace of God. I always thank God all these years that when moment I need to be kicked on my back, God will send someone. Or He will shout at me. Okay, so this is a strong, sober word, but this is not a word of rebuke. This is a word of love. He cares for us. He wants us to partner with Him to go even further so that we will not suffer loss. No, I'm not talking about losing salvation. I'm talking about that inheritance, that reward, that even joy of partnering with Him until fullness. He doesn't want us to lose even the inch of it. That's why He's saying a very strong word unto us. I mean, as I say, truth be told, if we are honest, over the years, we do lose something. We lost that zeal. I understand. No, everything is we understand. But when we get past that we understand, or when we get past, we have to get past that we understand, we have to get past that God understands. So that it will not become an inverted comma excuse or a stumbling block of preventing us of reaching to the fullness that God has for us. No, we all understand this is hard. Loss of sacrifice and challenges. But we, after recognizing it, appreciating it and so on, patting each other on the back, cry over each other's shoulder, we have to get out of that and realize that, truth be told, we do have lost some zeal. We do have lost some resolve. We have lost excitement and joy. And truth be told, too, maybe a lot of us, we lost that vision of 24/7. No, I'm not. I'll talk about this later. I'm not saying that we can do it, no. But that vision that God has for us, is it still something that, like what David said, zeal for God's house has consumed me. So we have to rediscover all this thing. That's what God is trying to tell us. So that, no, again, the word is not so that we, quit my job and so on, and again, bite the bullets and do. No, it's coming back to God, each on our own, seeking, asking God. That's where that word, Revelation 3, verse 2, is about. Be watchful. Be watchful. Watchful of what we have lost. No, I'm not concerned about financial loss or do more, do less. What have we lost? Our zeal, our resolve, and so on. And the second word is to strengthen. Strengthen what? That's where we say, strengthen what has become weak. And that's where we need to look back. What has become weak? And the third word is remember. Remember is a very important word. Yeah, I know. Now, in this generation, everybody wants to look forward, which is true. I think it's important. We need to always look forward. What God's future for us and so on. But we need to remember, recall how God has called us, what God has called us, because it's very vital. Because that sustains our joy. That sustains our excitement. All of us have our story and the history. Why are we here? You're not here by accident. I'm not here by accident. I mean, yeah, because I'm here. You know, this Twilight Zone thing. No. That's where we need to go back and begin to recall, remember, why am I here? Why am I doing this 24/7? You know. So I never take it for granted. Every time I walk in, I look at the OHP, I look at the chair, I look at the verses on the wall. It always wow my heart. It's like, man, unbelievable. This is happening. This is actually happening. That's where we need to go back and begin to recall and remember so that you begin to rediscover that this is not something that men make. I'm not here because I'm smart. It's okay to be smart. I'm here because God has something for me and I'm doing this. so that that thankfulness, that appreciation, the excitement, the joy will come back again. No, this is not about I'm trying to kind of trick you so that no, next week you're going to burn harder and so on. No, this is about your heart. This is about my heart. Because at the end of the day, even if we don't do this, we still need to have zeal for God. We still need to have resolve for what is in God's heart. I need to be excited and to be joyful about whatever God has invited me to run with Him. It's not just about the house of prayer. It's about everything. That's why this is so, so vital. And most important is that we need to respond so that we renew that zeal again. Turn with me to Revelation 3, verse 2 and 3. Revelation 3, verse 2 and 3, okay, is about the word of the Lord, you know, Jesus speaking to the church of Sardis, okay. Like I said last week, I'm not coming to you as the leader of this house. I'm not coming to you as a friend. I'm not coming to you as a shepherd of this community. I'm coming to you as the voice of God. God has the word. He wants to speak to us. No, I'm not going to say, thus says the Lord. But that pay attention. Take this seriously. Give the utmost attention to this. No, you don't. You're not. It's not about paying attention about what I'm going to say. It's about open up your heart and say, God, what are you saying to me? So that my heart is struck by the very word of God. Okay, so turning me to Revelation 3, verse 2 and 3. It's about a word that Jesus had for the church of Sardis, where he asked John to deliver the very word. This is the very word for us as a house now, for the season, so that we can go further. Okay, the word from God and the word for us. Okay. If you know Revelation 3, the church of Sardis, okay, the church of Sardis, by the time that Jesus asked John to give the word to the Sardis church, they're about 20 years after their revival. Many things have tapered down. Okay, if you read carefully, they were living on past reputation. You see, one of the danger about successful ministry, I'm not saying we are successful, no. I hope we are a little bit more so that we can have more session, praying more and so on. But that one of the danger of success, especially in ministry, is that subtly you can be living on past reputation. And worse still, you are living on false reputation. You know, especially ministry of prayer, people of prayer. After a while, we can live on past reputation, but actually our prayer life has kind of like decline or even totally cease. We are not even aware, because we talk a lot about it, but actually we don't have a secret prayer life. And even dangerous about this IHOP thing is because a lot of time we come gather together. In a sense, it's like corporate prayer, a platform prayer, but actually at the end of the day, a lot of us, we don't have a prayer life. I'm talking about individual prayer life. And that's dangerous. In the sense, we are living on false reputation. That's worse than past reputation. This is what happening to Church of Sardis. They are living on past reputation. It's 20 years after, 20 or 30 years after revival. They actually were birthed out by the Ephesus revival. The greatest revival in the first century church. They were vibrant, successful. But things slowly dies, and they didn't even realize. And the Lord went to them through John, not because he's angry or upset. See, Jesus is not angry or upset with all seven churches. You know, some preach about Church of Laodicea, it's like Jesus is about to kick. No, read carefully. Those who I love, I discipline, I rebuke. So even when Jesus went to the church of Laodicea, he's not like, you know, the word vomit, sometimes we overemphasize it. Vomit is not that I'm give up on you. Pui. That's not what it means. It's like, when I look at how you are living, it makes me sick. It makes me sick not because of you. It makes me sick because you have something more. You are shortchanging yourself. So it's the same for the church of Sardis. Jesus is not angry with them. This is not a rebuke, but it's the tender earnest beckoning them to come back. Okay, to come back. Let's read together. I'm going to run through briefly, and I'm going to build on it, because at the end of it is how do we take these two verses and respond? Every one of us need to respond. No, again, this is not about just doing the house of prayer and so on. Even if you don't, you need to rediscover your zeal if you have lost your zeal for God. You need to rediscover your resolve for the things of God if you have lost that resolve for the things of God. You need to rediscover your excitement and your joy. Not just because this generation is intense. Yes, the context I want to talk about is this generation is intense. But there is something that the principle applies for everything. It's not okay if we lose our zeal for God. It's not okay if we lost the resolve for the things of God. It's not okay when I have no excitement and joy about God and about what is in His heart. It's not okay. It is not okay. We can lose money. We can fail in business. We can fail exams and so on. You have it. That this is not. No, I'm not advocating don't study. That's not what I'm talking about. But this is not okay. Why should this be okay? You know what I'm saying? Let's read. I'm going to read Revelation. I'm going to read from verse 1. Okay, verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, this thing says, he who has the seven spirit of God and the seven star. Listen to what Jesus said. And I always take this verse and ask myself, you know, am I living in a past reputation? Do I really still have a prayer life? You know, someone said this. When Jesus walked into the room, his fragrance is so strong, it lingers on even after a long time he has left the room. Get what I'm trying to say? See, sometimes it's so subtle. We don't realize, yeah, my teaching is still good. Yeah, I went to this place and teach this place. Wow, people say, wow, anointed. Sometimes Jesus has left the room already. But because his fragrance is so strong, it still lingers after a long time. And we can be deceived by it. And we have to be very honest. I always ask, do I still pray? When I read the word, does my heart still move? No, I'm not talking about the heartbeat. If not, you die in the car. Does my heart still move? When I talk about 24/7 house of prayer, again, that's my assignment. That's not my passion. My passion is Jesus. What I'm saying is that when I talk about the 24/7 house of prayer, do I still have the resolve? I'm thankful to God that last 6 months He has been talking to me, because I also realized that I want 24/7, but the resolve is not so strong, because too many people is telling me that it's impossible, it's okay, don't try so hard, you know, just do what you can. And God began to remind me again, not rebuild, remind me again. I realized, God, yes, I lost that resolve. I'm rediscovering that. I'm not saying that I'm going to make it happen, but I can pray, I can provoke, I can talk, I can push people gently. Whatever. Okay. I'm rediscovering the resolve again that I'm again it's all by grace, but I'm gonna say it. Even people mock me, you talk big and so on. You will not even 80 hours. No, 80 hours is quite a lot. Yeah, 80 hours. Not even 80 hours a week. You wanna talk about 84 sessions a week? No, I'm going to go for it. That's the thing, okay? Revelation 3, verse 1. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive. That means you have the reputation that, oh, are vibrant and so on. But you are dead. Wow. Serious. I don't want the world to tell me that my house of prayer is so exciting, so anointed, so on and so on. Music is so, American would say, so cool, so awesome. But Jesus said, it's dead. It's dead. No, more than just house of prayer, even my life. And Jesus said, it's dead. That is serious. I don't care who tell me that I'm cool, I'm awesome, I'm great. You know, sometimes we overuse the word. I see people, you are a great man. I say, me a great man. Jesus said, no one is great. I don't care. But more importantly,
how does the Lord sees and defines me? I can have all the accolades, all the trophies, all the whatever, all the platform, you know. If Jesus said, I'm dead. No, not losing salvation, but there's no life. It's not real. It's reputation only. Then that's not good. It's not good. Verse 2. Be watchful. Be watch. That's where Jesus gave five exhortations, which I'm going to give us, build up a little bit more. But I'm going to set the context, okay? Be watchful. That means watch out for things, dangers that rob that zeal, that resolve, and so on. What are those things? What are those things? Be watchful. Strengthen the things which remain. You're talking about that. In this context, it's talking about that. The vision or the assignment that's been entrusted or the kind of things that the Lord wants. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Or you can phrase it in the sense, strengthen what has become weak. What has become weak? What is the most important in our context? The IHOP values. Has it become weak or he has never existed at all? Strengthen if he has become weak. Strengthen what has become weak. Okay. Let me continue. Strengthen what has become weak, which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. No, this is not about. No one will be able to do a perfect work before Jesus returns. It's talking about that. This is not good enough. Not good enough, not in terms of standard. Not good enough is in terms of the kind of things that God wants us to live out. This is not good enough. This is not the way forward. You have to change something. You have to do something to get back what has become going to die. What is going to be now is weak, but it's going to die. If you're not going to do something, you better strengthen because I have not found it perfect because this is not the way forward. No, you will be shortchanged. This is not the way forward. This is never what I want, not what I desire. I want something more. No, when the Lord wants something more, it's not a taskmaster. He wants something more for us. It's for our good. Okay, verse 3 said this. Remember therefore how you have received and heard. That means go back to that what was given and trusted. Remember, recall how you received that assignment. How you end up here. We always have to remember. We always have to recall. We always have to go back and say, God, why am I here? So that you rediscover that joy and that excitement. Because it's truth be told, what we do, you know, we sign off until he returns. Man, that requires lots of faithfulness. We do lose joy along the way. It's like hopes defer, makes the heart sick. You know, our hope is the return of Jesus. Wow, man, that will be a long time, man. A lot of time you feel sick. That's why you need to remember how you have received, how you have heard. That's why once in a while I will go, not because I'm kind of need to boost my ego, no. I need to be strengthened. I need to be reminded, you know, how I was called to do this. That one day when I received the call, I got depressed for a full day. That kind of like, then was kind of like, that then was not funny. Now you look at it, it's kind of funny. But that helps me and all the incident that I remember and recall. But don't always look back. Life is to live forward. If you always look back, then they are in trouble. Once in a while, you need to remember, okay? Remember, okay, hold fast and don't quit. It's going to be difficult, but never quit. Hold fast and repent. Repent means do something. Repent is not just saying sorry. If you realize it, you haven't rearranged, then that's not true repentance. Repentance is always about change. Something change. Therefore, listen to this. Therefore, if you not watch, I will come upon you like a thief. No, Jesus is not talking about he's going to come as a thief. That means he's talking about that he may be gone. We don't even realize. Or we suffer loss. We don't even realize. Suffer loss as that. What Jesus has for us when he invites us to partner with him in this thing. This is so vital. But I'm going to set the context because the context is more than just individual prayer life or individual walk with God. I think that's vital. The context is God has a word for us as a house. You know, I shared last July about the Psalms 2 crisis. I shared last Friday about that. Luke 21, nations are in distress. We saw it yesterday. Or rather, we witnessed. I didn't see it. Thank God. What happened in Jakarta? Another terrorism. The world is actually fast approaching the time of greatest crisis. It is true. Nations are in distress. That is the key thing. Isaiah 60 verse 1 and 2 talks about darkness is increasing. But light can become brighter. It's true. Light can become brighter. That's why in such a time as this, house of prayer, not just here, I mean many houses of prayer around in this nation and all over nation cannot become weak. We cannot lose the resolve. We have to burn even brighter. That's what God is inviting us, you know, to partner with him to be that burning and the shining lamp. And central to this burning and the shining lamp thing is to keep charge of the 24/7 house of prayer in the spirit of tabernacle of David. You know, I talk about God desiring a resting place and God demands a refuge place. Only at the place of prayer, there is a divine answer about what is about to come. It's true. Only at the place of prayer. Turn with me to Joel 2. Joel 2. Because God demands a refuge place for people, for nations. He demands it. Because in the midst of the greatest crisis in human history, there will be only one answer. At the place of prayer. It is at the place of prayer. God demands it. No other option. We haven't come to that yet. God is pushing us to the edge slowly. We haven't realized it yet. But I say, yeah, wait till it happens. Wait till it happens. We will not have that resolve to stand. Now is really flexing our muscle. We have to. Tell me to Joel 2. Joel 2. I have no time to elaborate to you. That's why this year, the first Forerunner School intensive will be about the book of Joel because we need to know the book of Joel. Okay, the book of Joel is one of the most relevant book right now for such a time as it. Because talk about that. In the midst of the greatest crisis in human history, there is an answer. The answer is at the place of prayer. At the place of prayer. If you know the book of Joel, chapter 2, start off with Joel 2, verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. What are they trying to say? Crisis is coming. In their context, is God allowed Nebuchadnezzar, who lead the Babylonian army, about to attack Israel, Jerusalem. Blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. And then in verse 11, the Lord said this, "For the day of the Lord is great and terrible. Who can endure?" In a sense, what is that answer? What is that answer? The answer actually is in verse 12 to verse 17. Verse 12 to 14 talks about individual response, which I'm going to talk about it next week, intimacy, prayer. But verse 15 to verse 17 talks about is at the place of prayer. Lighthouse in the darkness. Beacon of hope. Where there's no hope, it seems light. That rock that is being raised up. The Noah's Ark in the midst of the storm. That's why God demands that refuge place. To be raised up because people are going to need it. Nation is going to need it. And of course, he demands a resting, or rather, he desires a resting place. Because you know what's a resting place of God? Resting place of God is going to be the place where God's presence is going to break forth. Both are the same. Refuge place, resting place. Okay, and this is the commission of the 24/7 house of prayer. Raised up a refuge place. Establish a resting place. Because it's about the core of the sacred assembly in this time of crisis. Okay, turn with me to Isaiah 62. I'm going to paint a lot of context. Now I'm going to give you how should we respond. Isaiah 62. Because I need you to see it. Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62 says what? I will set watchmen on where? On the wall. Why specifically on the wall? What is the purpose of the wall? War is to protect. War is to shield danger from coming. Prayer is like a shield. When the people of God rise up, because God is raising up watchmen so that we will, inverted comma, protect His very purpose for such a time as this, for our generation and for the people of God. Nehemiah has a very powerful parallel. Remember Nehemiah 4? I'm not going to turn to it because I realize there are no time. Nehemiah 4. God called Nehemiah to build the wall because they are in the crisis in his generation. And God is raising up Nehemiah and his people to build the wall, to protect and to safeguard. I'm going to show you one verse, which is such a powerful verse. Take me to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. That says this. Such a powerful a picture of what we are doing right now. Why God raised up a global prayer movement in such a time as this. Nehemiah 4 verse 14. Nehemiah 4 verse 14. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, it's like, you know, Kichong, come to you. Kichong, look, arose, come to a Friday meeting and say to you. What did Nehemiah saying? Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Remember the word remember. Remember why God invite us to do this. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. What is the next invitation? Fight. Fight for what? Fight for our brethren. Why we pray for the church? The church has to shine. The church has to be strong in such a time as this. What else? Fight for our brethren. Fight for our sons and daughters. We are contending for our children. So that they will be the burning and the shining lamp. They'll be the Daniel 11 verse 32. Or the young men, young women, you know, youth, teenager, we are fighting for them. For your wives, for your houses. Houses, you can exchange it for. We are praying for our nations. We are contending for our nation. There are enough verses. David said in 1 Samuel chapter 17, if I didn't get it wrong, you know, when the Goliath come, another powerful picture, because there will come another eschatological Goliath that's going to be fiercer, stronger. And David said this, is there not a cause? When everybody is silent, everybody is running away in 1 Samuel 17, people are scared. David is the only one who rose up and he said, is there not a cause? In such a time as this, God needs courageous people who understand and we will give him no rest. Isaiah 62. We will give him no rest. We are fighting in the grace of God. You know, we cannot become weaker. We have to burn brighter. That's why God is exhorting us five words. No, take your time. No, go back and wrestle with God. Ask the Lord. Take this seriously. It's about yourself. It's about me. I decided quite a long time ago, if no one do this, I'm going to do this. Maybe it's cheaper. I stay at home.
No, that's not the point.
Five words: watch, strengthened, remember, hold fast, repent. And I'll give you some, just some, so that we can take back and wrestle with God. The idea is not, oh, I know what Revelation 3 is all about. No, the key is that we need to respond. Watch, strengthen, remember, hold fast, repent. The first one is watch. Watch out for dangers. No, danger, not that you will die or whatever. Dangers that will cause us to become dull, become bored, or we become casual in whatever we do. No, no, I'm not saying this to blame anybody. Truth is a reality. What we do is long, mundane, routine. There are a lot of very subtle danger that we don't even realize. That is the key thing. Okay. Watch out. Watch out. Don't be casual. Don't be cynical. Don't be skeptical. Before you realize we are there. There are four dangers. First one is this. The first one. Just write down. Our neglect due to routine, mundaneness, and familiarities. That's the challenge of what we do. Week in, week out, we come here, four walls, we pray. You know, then we evaluate court progression and so on. Then tomorrow come again, especially this way, one day fast. It's kind of like routine, it's mundane, it's after a while you get familiar. Now, after a while, you can end up praying the same prayer, if you realize this. That's why we have to watch the danger. And after that, we become dull. After that, we become bored. After that, it's like, is there anything new? And she'll still sing the same song. No, he's not singing the same song. I'm just so, talking about the challenge. Oh, today is Joshua. Oh, okay, good. There's some change. That is the thing that we have to, because you know why? All this will cause us to become casual. The worst thing is we assume that we are living it, but we actually have not. We have not. You see, one of the great dangers of IHOP is this. There's always prayer meeting going on. We assume that prayer meeting going on, every month there's global bridegroom fast, we are living out the lifestyle. The house of prayer may be living out the lifestyle, but individual one of us, we may not. That is the subtlety. That is the danger. You know, you may be in the community of people who press in and passionate for Jesus. You and I may not be passionate and pressing in for Jesus. That is the subtlety of it. Because it becomes a language. Everybody talk Jesus. Use Jesus language. Yeah, but that are we? That is the danger. No, I'm not saying this to rebuke because I can fall into the subtlety too. It's so routine. Come here, you know. My schedule is even more routine. Ask my wife, you know. She knows exactly when I call me at her house. After a while, it can become a routine. That is the danger. So we have to watch. Second is this. Second. Complain. No, I'm not scolding. I'm just telling the reality. We need to realize this so that we watch. Complain about difficulties. Welcome to House of Prayer. House of Prayer is demanding, is challenging, is difficult. And I say, yeah, I thought I signed up for refreshment, for intimacy and so on. Yes, that's part of it, but at the end of the day, what is this? We never think about it. So after a while, we say, oh, I signed up for a wrong thing. No, we didn't sign up for a wrong thing. You haven't realized it. Leviticus 6:12, keep the fire on the altar burning. Means what? Somehow we haven't thrown another three words, you know, of our five words, day and night, night and day. It's routine. Six words. Okay, thank you. I saw you count this. Yeah, six words. Okay. Day is routine. That means it's demanding, it's costly, it's difficult.